Another question that was asked had to do with London Baptist Confession, chapter 10. I don't know if you all have your confessions with you in your pocket. I might be a little troubled if you did, to be quite honest. whatever. I have a nice little black bound version of it that I do try to carry around with me, and it is nice, but London Baptist Confession, chapter 10, on the topic of effectual calling. I produced an Emmaus Essentials on this a number of weeks ago. Paragraph 3, some of you had some questions about this. Infants dying in infancy. Do you remember this one, church? Obviously, this is a very touchy subject. Infants dying in infancy are regenerated and saved by Christ through the Spirit, who works when, where, and how he pleases. So also are all elect persons who are incapable of being outwardly called by the ministry of the word. This has those with mental handicaps in view, that last statement there, and infants dying in infancy in the first view. There was just some general confusion as to what the confession was saying here in paragraph 3. Notice that it's under the section of effectual calling. Okay, chapter 10 of the confession is talking about effectual calling, which is when the gospel is preached, the Holy Spirit opens eyes and unstops deaf ears so that the gospel can be responded to. Okay, we were talking about Paul when he was Saul earlier. That certainly happened to him. He was effectively drawn to Christ by that incredible experience he had with Christ on the road there, you know. The question then is, what about babies? What about those who die in the womb or in infancy? How are they brought to salvation? Can they be saved? You can see why this is a very pressing question. Lots of people are curious about it because some have lost children in infancy. Some have had miscarriages. These are deeply emotional and difficult things to deal with. This has been a very important pastoral issue in every age. You know, pastors have needed to address this as people go through these difficult things in life. In the days that the confession was written, the infant mortality rate was 50%. Think of that for a moment. John Owen, who is a well-known theologian from the 17th century, not one of his children survived past infancy. He lost them all. And so obviously there is this need to know, well, what happens? What should we expect in regard to the infants if they pass away? Now also remember, this is immediately after the days of the Reformation, and the Roman Catholic Church had an answer for that, didn't they? What was the answer? Well, if they've been baptized, they're saved. If they're in the church, they're saved, basically. And some would accuse the Protestants of being haters of babies, for lack of a better term, you know? Their whole doctrine of original sin that, you know, David says in Psalm 51, in sin did my mother conceive me. We're sinful from birth. We're not innocent from birth. And also, given the doctrine that salvation is received by faith in Jesus Christ and in no other way, some accuse the reformers of neglecting children. You know, you don't have a place for children. But all of the reformers would be quick to say, listen, though the Word of God does not speak directly to this issue, which it doesn't, we are confident that the Lord can work in extraordinary ways. He can work in ways that are out of the ordinary. Does that make sense? So ordinarily, how are people saved? Well, they go on living for a time in sin. They hear the gospel preached. The Spirit of God works within them, and they respond in faith. That's how people receive salvation ordinarily. But chapter 10, paragraph 3 of the confession here is wanting to address that issue when it comes to infants. And I think what the framers of the confession are essentially saying is that God can do what he wants to do in this regard. He can make a way for infants to be saved, for infants to be regenerated. Now, the thing they are wanting to emphasize is that if an infant is saved, he or she is saved through Christ Jesus, through the work that Christ has accomplished. Though an infant cannot really exercise faith in the way that an adult does, and though an infant cannot, the confession later argues this, does not need to repent the way that we do as adults, God can still save them. And so the confession simply says all elect infants dying in infancy are regenerated. That is, God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, regenerates them even at that young state. I think one of the passages that they would point to in support of this is that John the Baptist, when Mary came to visit Elizabeth. What did John the Baptist do in the womb? Leaped, you know. The Spirit was working in John the Baptist before he was even born. The confession does not even attempt to say how many are elect or not. It doesn't seek to say this many are, this many aren't, who aren't. I guess some in church history would say all infants are elect. I even think Charles Spurgeon kind of tended towards that, you know. They're just all infants are saved. Others would say only the children of believers are elect. Others would say only the children who live in lands where the gospel is present are elect. Okay? And then still others are willing to say, we don't know. That's me. I don't know. The point is God can do what he wants to do and work in extraordinary ways. And for me, pastorally, when someone goes through, you know, an experience of having a miscarriage or loses a young child, in my mind, what can we do other than say, run to Christ and trust in him? I don't see there being any other answer that's better than to say, just trust in the character of God, trust in his goodness, his justice, and understand that our God is good and we are to rest in that. There is no better answer, in my opinion. I made the point in the Essentials lecture, I just alluded to it as I was dealing with this chapter, that I think the scriptures are silent on this issue for a very good reason. This might sound crazy, but crazier things have happened in societies, okay? If a teaching takes hold that all babies are saved, period, you know, before the age of one, gospel truth, can you see how some could come to some really crazy conclusions about, you know, I was doing some reading about, this was back in the day, it was slums in Peru, and how a culture took root there, where mothers, the conditions were so bad, okay, the conditions were so bad in this place, this was probably 30 years ago, mothers, it just became culturally acceptable for mothers to try to sense or discern if their children were strong or weak. And if they sensed that they were weak in infancy, it was just culturally acceptable to leave that child out to die. It just became the norm. Okay, so in my opinion, I'm kind of glad that the scriptures don't speak to this issue because of our tendency to distort and abuse truths that maybe some would, in thinking to themselves, they can rationalize this way. Well, if it is guaranteed that my child is saved if they die before the age of 6 months old, then maybe it is better than to allow them to live past that mark, and then who knows? You see what I'm saying? And I've often wondered, why don't the scriptures speak to this? And maybe there is a good reason why the scriptures don't speak to this, that really we're to just simply call out to God in those times of need and trust in him that he can do what is right and just and holy and pure. Any other questions on that? I would say most of the framers of the confession did believe that there were such thing as elect and non-elect infants, but there is no consensus as to how to determine who is who and what is what in that regard. Okay. The point is, there is salvation in no one else except Christ Jesus. So they are regenerated and saved in him. A little later in the confession, you'll hear this episode come up in 1 or 2 weeks on repentance, on the issue of repentance. The point is made that it's only those who come to faith in riper years who need to repent. Riper years meaning you've lived for some time in sin, who need to repent. Well, why is that? Because repentance is turning from actual sins that you have committed to Christ. Infants, though they are born in Adam's sin, therefore sinful, they have not committed actual sins. And so the confession makes the point to say that it's only those who are converted in riper years who need to repent. I think that's kind of an interesting little nuance there, to say that infants aren't able to repent, nor are they required to, because they have not committed actual sins, though they are guilty, born in sin, in the sin of Adam. Okay. I think there's some great stuff in this confession, to be quite honest with you. It's right there. So.